people who love them.
Hello, this is The Thing About Cars, coming at you again from Atlanta, Georgia, recording as usual in Strongbox West. Today at the table, we have a special guest, Greg Barner, who's with us. He's going to talk to us about a couple of different things. He drives a very cool old car and is a member of a very cool old car club, and is really, I think, vested in old car culture most than the most of us at the table are. And at the table, as always, we have
Ben
and
Becca.
So let's jump right in. What's on our agenda for today? I think we have a number of things on the board. I kind of want to talk about squeaky brakes, and we can come back to squeaky brakes in a second. Ben, I know, wants to talk about things like Lotus. His beloved Lotus just got bought by somebody. Click here to find out.
Right.
And what else, Becca? What else should we put up there?
We've got quite a number of things that we could talk about today.
Well, let's just jump in. Greg, what do you drive?
I drive a 1938 Plymouth that I've started when I was in high school.
So is this your daily driver, though?
No, not anymore. It was in high school.
Well, normally when you say, what do you drive, I would start with the daily.
Well, since we were talking about my old car, I thought I'd start with that.
Do you have it outside?
No, I did not bring it outside.
Okay.
So I had it down to the Swan House on Saturday because we were supposed to have an event with the Cadillac Club and the early Ford Club. And I drove it around the Swan House about 20, 25 minutes. Never found anybody from either of the two clubs. Drove it home.
Huh.
So
where'd they all go?
I have no idea. I'll find out tomorrow night. But Buckhead's a little bit too much for me with that. They just don't know what they're doing when they're driving.
Oh, no, that's how I am. And I've been forced to drive through Buckhead, but I do not want to park in Buckhead.
There are diehard Atlanta people who love living inside the perimeter of Atlanta who refuse to go to Buckhead.
Yeah.
And I haven't been to Buckhead willfully in quite a long time, maybe even years. So
now I came through it today. I came down Peachtree Road.
Mm-hmm.
And for the time of the day, it wasn't too bad.
Well,
you know, but that's good. It's not Christmas time yet either.
Well, there was some rain out there, though.
Yeah.
So that just.
And I figured it's going to be better than 85. So.
Well, up until a couple years ago, I worked in Buckhead, so I was forced to share the road with these obnoxious, crazy people. So, yes.
But, so nowadays, I don't take the 38 out, but like three or four times a month,
mm-hmm.
usually on the weekends, and try to stay out of the mass quantity of traffic. It's just easier.
Definitely. It's got to be hard to find parts for that, too, if anybody were to damage something.
It's actually easier today with the Internet than it was in the 60s when I did it originally.
Oh, I bet.
There are more parts out there now that are at your fingertips.
Okay.
I can buy, in some cases, brand new parts that have been in storage somewhere.
So you're saying it's easier to buy parts for a 38 Plymouth than it is to buy parts for a 2009 Pontiac G8.
It's a possibility. That's a good possibility. Yeah.
When we spoke recently, you were trying to iron out a problem with the vibration somewhere.
I still have it. Mm-hmm. It now has moved up to about 40 to 45 miles an hour, so it's getting better. I think I've changed it down to, I think it's the drive shaft.
Oh.
I think over time, the grease is probably hardened in the two universal joints, and it's just the drive shaft.
Huh.
So this winter's project, we'd pull the drive shaft off and get it rebuilt, or rebuild it, one of the two.
See, you and I could talk. I have some sort of huge steering vibration. Well, yeah, I'm verging on death wobble, caster wobble, whatever you want to call it, some really strange stuff. So, yeah, you and I could definitely have a conversation.
Yeah, it's hard to trace it down. I mean, I've done tires, I've done wheels, I've had it on a frame. You know, mm-hmm. everything feels good. It's just the whole car just shakes, mm-hmm. you know. But now that it's chasing and it's going to a higher speed, I'm thinking that maybe it's just drive shaft.
And that had crossed my mind, strangely enough, on the way here when the source of the vibration suddenly changed and I was feeling it up through my seat somehow. It's always seemed to be centered around the left front wheel, and to feel it through my seat all of a sudden made that cross my mind.
Yeah, you realize that when you feel a vibration in your seat, it's in the back of the car.
Coming from the front of the car.
And when you feel it through the steering wheel, it's coming from the front wheels.
So if you have
wheels or tires out of balance,
it's been balance.
Becca, what rotated. We should do is we
yeah,
should
this
take
could
a,
keep going.
We
yeah,
should
so
take
I'm trying
your
to.
Car and just put it back together again.
Do you know how much suspension and steering work has been done on this car trying to alleviate? We've got a list. I'm at the point of gutting. So I'm trying not to steer this away because we were originally talking about cars. I just want to say, you know, I could talk.
So, but you show the car regularly.
Yeah, I show it, you know, like I said, I try to get it out 3 or 4 times a month, sometimes twice a weekend. We used to do Tucker every the second Saturday afternoon through the summer. Mm-hmm. Which is now shut down. We do have a show that I produce. It's the Brookhaven Arts Festival. And on that Sunday afternoon from 1 to 4, we put on a car show in the back parking lot of the Brookhaven MARTA station. Our car shows are free. There's no entry fee. There are prizes that are awarded. It's usually picked by the public that has walked through the cars. Last year we had about 50.
Wow. So there's no entry fee even for the contestants, I guess, the cars being judged.
No. If you've got a car to show, just bring
it. We figured that people have thousands of dollars invested in their vehicle. Why should we collect $10 to pay for ourselves?
Wow, that's awesome.
So it's just bring your car, bring what you want, bring your motorcycle. If you want somebody to look at it and you're pleased with it, bring it.
So when you say we, who's we?
I have a partner who has a Model A Ford.
Ooh,
and nice. Also a 63 T-Bird convertible.
No kidding. Mm.
And he and I just kind of partnered. He's always said, oh, I want to do shows, but he never did them. And I said, well, you know, stop whining. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
So we just started. And, you know, our shows are building. We've only been doing it for 3 years. We started off with maybe 15 or 20 cars, and now we're up to, and we're starting to get into the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and pretty soon we'll probably have to cut it off at about 75 per show.
But wait, I'm still waiting for you to get to 97. What? She's 4 years away from being vintage. Well, because she's a 96.
We've had new Mustangs in shows in our shows. Like I said, if you're proud of it and you want to show it off, bring it.
So why limit the size of the show? I mean, is it just the
usually the space that we have?
I see.
You know, some parking lots only hold so much. We don't want to put our cars side by side so that they can't open the door without hitting the other car.
Right, no. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a space and a half, 2 spaces per car.
Right.
So it takes quite a bit of space.
And that takes huge logistics. And as long as you're doing it inside Atlanta, that's
our problem.
And at least for people to be able to walk through without coming into contact with the vehicles, all these horrible people with purses and keys and things.
And children.
Yes. Oh, I've been trying to beat that into my kids'
children to climb on the running boards and want to see in or want to sit in it or whatever. Ask first, and
you should electrify the running board.
I think you should electrify the whole car. No, I had a guy actually invite my children to sit in his Austin Healey, and I'm sitting there having a stroke for him, and they're jumping in with their dirty shoes, putting them on his leather seats, and I'm panicking. Oh no, it's fine.
As long as the owner says it's okay, he's already evaluated what he wants to do.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I guess.
So, okay, cool.
So what else? What else do you have?
Yeah, I got a Nissan 350Z at 2005. And I always wanted a Z, and it's that wonderful Daytona blue. Mm-hmm. So it's just
sweet. An older Z.
And
get
then.
A no, come on. No,
I don't put an LS in it.
I had it. And then I've got a Volkswagen kit car.
Oh, fun.
That I'm working on. It's an old Avenger.
Really?
Oh, nice.
So just bought a long block out of California that just came in.
Uh-huh.
So we'll be assembling a 2-liter motor for it this winter.
Okay, awesome. You know what else comes in? 2 liters, right?
Yeah.
Coke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop.
What?
Just stop. I want to see this Avenger. I want to see it roll down the street.
What I was hoping to hear, he did tell you I pretty much rip on everything. The VW version of the Myers Minx, and I can't think of the name. I would love to see a kit, one of those going on too. You know, the buggy type cars,
the buggy.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
I would love to see a kit, one of those.
There's a bunch of them still out there.
I don't see them. I hear about them. I can look them up.
They're all in California.
That explains it.
I can direct you to one for sale in Delaware right now.
How about Georgia?
No, can't help you there.
How much money we can drag it down here?
right.
But that's kind of got the garage full at the moment.
There's a huge aftermarkets world for that Z car. Are you just leaving it stock, or are you going to do anything?
I'm just leaving it stock. That's my daily driver. It's still fun to drive. I don't want to fool with it.
They're great cars.
I got enough other projects to keep me busy.
I test drove once, and I scared the salesman. I did a donut coming back at the end of a cul-de-sac. I'm like, he's like, just put the pedal down and turn the wheel. I'm like, if you insist. He's like, I didn't expect that to happen. So, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I've heard the same. Why haven't I modified my daily driver? And, you know, it's a car that a lot of people modify, but I already have a project car. I'm like you. I completely get that.
The other thing is you spend all this money on your street car, your daily driver, and you're never going to get it out.
Right.
You know, so just, you know, just drive that thing and just enjoy it the way it is and work on your other projects.
Although I get it. I get it why people do that. I get it why people would actually spend the money on their daily driver.
Well, so that's their project.
And that's how my Mustang started out, was both a project and a daily driver when I just had the one car. But, you know, now she can be dedicated. Right now she's half apart in the garage, and I can do that and not panic about it.
Right.
I got to get her back together to drive the room. So, right. Yes.
Have you told Greg about the Mustang room?
No, I haven't gotten that crazy on him yet.
Okay. We should do that at some point.
He's later. Seen the tattoo, but he hasn't.
Right.
You have a Mustang tattoo?
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Becca has entered the room.
Woo, woo! Talk about a tramp stamp.
It is not low enough to be a tramp stamp. Just saying.
It's not cliche enough.
That is beautiful.
It's aligned with a chakra.
It is not cliche enough to be a tramp stamp.
A Mustang chakra.
To be a tramp stamp, it has to be partially below the waistline of your pants and makes you pull your pants down to show it all off.
There are rules to this? There are rules to tramp stamps?
To a tramp stamp.
Who makes these things up?
I actually didn't know.
I checked on that before I put it there.
Okay.
I wanted to be able to show it at my.
All right, so let's bring this back to cars a little bit.
It's a Mustang.
It's a Mustang.
It's a Mustang tattoo. Your car, the Pontiac, you said the brakes are making tons of noise?
She sounds like a tea kettle.
What happened? So, because the general thing that I want to talk about is, I read something lately on Road and Track that, you know, how do you address squeaky brakes?
And you change them?
Well, I mean, having messed with this many times before, there are squeaky brakes where the squeak is actually okay and acceptable. And then there's a squeak or a whine where you don't want it to make that noise at all.
It depends on your car, what's OEM, the type of pad that you replace on it. So, yes, some squeak until they're bad.
Some are designed to give you a little bit of a squeak as a warning for, you know, a wear situation.
Right.
There's just a small area where it squeaks. There's some like mine that she is just a whiny little, what can I call her without Mickey saying, you can't say that.
We understand.
No, you're not allowed to say that. We're going to have to
add
that
up. It's the slang one.
So here's my rule of thumb that I've always heard and that I've always said to people, that if your brakes squeak while you're standing on the pedal and it's a little squeak, that might be okay. If your brakes squeak and your foot is nowhere near the pedal, that might be a problem.
Yeah.
That's what I tell people.
There's more, but
obviously if you step on the pedal and you hear this grinding noise and a horrific, you know, cacophony of noise, then that's also a serious problem, but that's no longer a squeak, right? So.
Right.
That can occur along with a squeak. It's not just black and white as far as you have a squeak or you don't, or here's where it happens. There's so much into it.
Right.
But no, mine is just, there is so much to do right now that when I try to plan for one and then I think, oh no, there's something else more important and I don't want to list it. I don't want to rag on my poor G8. I feel like I do that sometimes and I misrepresent it. I love the car. It's a fabulous car. I don't care that it's not a Mustang, but she has kind of a list going right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those, I'm trying to prioritize what needs to be done, and brakes just, it's one wheel in particular that's being cranky. So I have three others that aren't quite being cranky yet. I need to.
Which one's being cranky?
The one with the worst vibration up until the strangeness today. But I can't say it's the brakes. I can say the brakes might be adding to whatever I'm feeling now, but the wobble predates the brakes having issues. The brakes have been changed since the wobble has been there. So I can't. I see your gears going up there. But It might not be helping it, but I don't think that's the root cause.
All right. So how then does the rule of thumb that I just quoted still stand? Is there a way to add to it? And what do you tell people about how to fix their squeaky brakes?
Partly. I think the second one is the second part of it especially.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of grinding, crunching metal on metal sound is definitely bad.
Right. Right. Yes. Craig is laughing.
I've heard a few of those in my time.
I've created a few of them.
My brother came to me one time and he said, my brakes are making some noise. Can you look at it? I said, sure. And I took his car around the block and it was metal scraping metal. And I pulled one of his wheels off and on at least one pad, most of the friction material was gone. There was probably a half-inch wide band on his rotor where the metal, where metal rubbed metal and his rotor was shot. I said, you waited until now to say something about it?
I'm about to change my brakes, but I don't have any squeaking or anything. I'm being proactive.
It's just preemptive,
It's just a little slow.
Oh,
slower than I would like.
Oh, you're being good where you're watching your mileage.
No, I'm not. I got the car almost a year and a half ago, and I haven't done the brakes yet, and I could feel I don't have a great stopping time, and so in Atlanta especially, you need that. I don't like I don't like to ride the brakes. I don't like to be hard
on it. So were they squealing before you put brakes on, or do they now squeal after?
Oh, no, this is the I need to change my brake squeal.
Okay, so it's like the telltale's rubbing on the disc?
Yeah, I try not to say she all the time. I try not to let all my bucket of crazy out. It always squeals to some degree. It tends to do that. But it's the different kind of squeal. There's the little, every once in a while, tiny little mouse noise that, it's fresh pads or something.
Yeah.
No, now it's the...
As you apply the brakes, it increases.
This is so sad that it depends. Most of the time, no, it'll quiet when I apply the brakes, but not always.
It almost sounds like a glazing problem more than a...
Right.
They're well past. And the rotors should have been changed, not because they were old or warped, but because they developed stress cracks.
Time out. What is a glazing problem? Let's define that for anybody who doesn't know.
I've never heard of that.
If the brake pads don't come all the way off of the disc...
I don't ride my brakes.
Let him answer the question.
The
disc pads are thrown out as you release the brakes. They're thrown out by the forces, and then they just kind of wrap. They always kind of ride on the disc. And depending on the pads, the cheaper pads will tend to glaze on the front ends, and that'll cause a constant squeak. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you put brakes on, they push it, and it wipes it off, and then they start to stop.
Glazing because of temperature?
Temperature and just constant friction. You know, it's just called a glaze.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a combination of heat, metal, and the pads themselves.
Plus, it reduces brake efficacy, right? You don't
get as much. You get more sliding again, depending on the car. But yeah, you can have it where it's sliding more, taking a little bit more effort to stop, depending on it.
Might take a little bit more effort,
especially when you're heavy footed and your brake system really wasn't adequately designed in the first place.
Possibly.
But no, I've had issues with that. Normally when I've had it was just closer to, I've been too rough on them during the break-in period. And I've actually been told to do something pretty close to a power stop to break off the glazing.
The glazing.
Isn't necessarily safe everywhere you go in Atlanta.
I have heard that in order to solve some of that problem and to keep your brakes in adjustment, that you should go as fast as you can in reverse and step on the brakes.
I have not heard of doing that in reverse. I've just heard of...
It makes a tiny bit of sense to me, but there's also a part of me that says, no, that's just a bunch of hooey. So,
well, here, I've got a question that's totally relevant since I walked in. Hey, by the way, guys.
That's why I was doing this.
This is other Becca.
Did we say that the other Becca had joined us?
We did not.
Becca is here.
Special guest star.
Woo-woo, I made it out. So I'm about to do the brakes on my 2000 Civic, and I got cheap brakes, but they're ceramics. Like, they look all right. They look fine. I got them on Amazon for, like, $43 or something, brakes and rotors. So what should I watch out for on my first ever brake job?
Yeah.
So
cool. $43 for pads and rotors.
Dude, they were
all four.
Yeah, it's, my car only needed two rotors and four, but four brake pads, two rotors. But there was a cheaper
set. $300
There was a cheaper set for $30, but it had no reviews. So I got the $43 set with lots of reviews.
Yes,
I can't get a set of pads for that.
Well, for the Mustang, I'm assuming.
Actually, the Pontiac is the one I'm shopping for.
So what's the question, Becca?
Oh, so the question is, anything I should keep an eye out for on my first ever brake job?
Don't get your greasy fingers on the
I do know that, No, I've already got my gloves, I've got my brake cleaner,
there you go.
I'm good.
A throwback to a previous, don't get the plumber's torch on your brake lines.
I don't have a torch, so I think I'm safe,
There's a product called Brake Quiet, and some people say that if you put that, I can't remember where, I think it's behind, between the pad and the caliper, you apply it like
Well,
a, like
there's a different, there's one that you can apply to the rotor, there's one that you can apply to the brake pads. It's most commonly applied, different versions applied to the brake pad.
So this thing allegedly cuts down on brake squeak as well, but it, but in terms of just putting in brakes?
Am I going to anticipate having brake squeak as soon as I put fresh ones in?
Shouldn't.
Oh, you should not,
I don't think for $30 or $40 that you're putting in ceramic or anything like that. So.
Well, I'm putting in ceramics, but...
Really?
Yeah. I know. I'm
not buying
I know
ceramics.
That
I don't
much,
care how good that sounds. I'm not.
My friend that's a mechanic that taught me lots of the mechanics that I know.
The person that we don't mention the name of.
He approved the purchase. You know.
He loves Honda. Right. He loves Honda, of course.
Becca, have some confidence in what... Becca is saying about the car.
Becca, listen to what Becca's saying. It's not at all confusing.
Which Becca?
One thing I did run into with some past Hondas, both an Accord I used to have and an Integra that I had, which is, of course, also a Honda product, was a lot of times retracting the pistons can be a little tricky. You have to back them back into the calipers because they, you know, as the pads wear, they move closer and closer to the disc, and of course more fluid comes into the caliper behind them as that happens. And so a lot of times you've got to push the pistons back in the calipers. Sometimes you can do it by hand, but on this one particular, well, we have a visual aid going on here, folks. But anyway, especially
you're number one too.
Especially on this one Acura, there was a weird thing that fooled me at first. The whole piston didn't move; rather, the face of it turned like a big screw head. So you just twist the whole piston face back a couple turns before you put it back together. Another thing I'd advise too, while it's apart, is just clean things.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, the dust buildup can make things not move as freely. You know, that sort of thing.
I usually compress the pistons with the old set of pads still on.
Okay.
That's a good idea, too.
Yeah, yeah, get in there with a big screwdriver or whatever. If they just slide back.
Yeah.
And press them back while you got the old junk on.
That makes a ton of sense.
Actually,
it does.
So the other thing that I think about, and I know we're running out of time here, but the other thing I think about with terms of brake jobs has nothing to do with the brakes, but the brake line. And I think a lot of do-it-yourselfers, So the thing I think about is that a lot of people tend not to think about is when to bleed the brake line, which is not directly related to pads and rotors, but...
But absolutely is related.
It's still the system, so, yeah. How and when to do that.
Definitely should be included in it.
And I tell my younger friends who've never done it before to just pay a professional to do it, because...
Well, they're coming out with new devices that will help.
Like, I've helped bleed brake lines, but it was on an old Toyota truck. It wasn't on a Honda, so... Learning experience.
One of the things that I was going to say, though, if you have a shop manual, always a good thing to refer to that.
Yeah.
Giving you little tips and tricks. Sometimes you can be shocked that, you know, I've got an older car that wants the piston press and a special one, and it can only be this one. And then I've got a newer car that's usually the most problematic, and it's quite okay with C-clamps, apparently. So, yeah, I mean, first place to look is just see what they say, and then there's always forums. I know you're awesome with going out there and looking at things and just
internet.
See. Yeah.
Yeah, especially with anti-lock systems, too, because some of those are straightforward to bleed and some are not.
Yeah. Well, are you going to do the whole take pictures, work in progress kind of thing? Or
probably. I'd like to Instagram it. If you guys look at Instagram, Makeup Artist Mechanic is my hashtag.
Makeup Artist Mechanic.
Not my account.
That's
the hashtag.
You so need to do a photo shoot of makeup done with engine grease or something.
Hey. Well, there was the time that I did my sister's makeup because she was visiting and had her hair done, and so I did her makeup and I had makeup on. And then my what was it that went out that time? It was one of my back radiator hoses, not one of the mains, blew, and I had to fix that while my sister had just gotten in town with her hair and makeup done. And so I'm in the parking lot of like Advance Auto Parts fixing my car with full makeup. Why not?
All right. Well, that's, I think, all we have time for today. Let's wrap this one up, and we'll continue these and other exciting topics in the next episode of The Thing About Cars. As always, recording in Strongbox West in Atlanta. Please check us out on, find us on our Facebook page, rather, at The Thing About Cars, or our website, thethingaboutcars.com. And we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.